Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies. It's Sunday, beautiful Sunday afternoon in northern British Columbia. So the big puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and being broadcast here live on People's Internet Radio and also being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we are a viewer-supported station, guys. So if you like what we're doing, please hit the donate button. I know the stations would appreciate your support. Jürgen Vollrath, well, I've had him on three or four times in the past, and I found him to be pretty reliable for showing up, but for some reason, Jürgen is not available right now. And the last second, I gave a really good friend of mine a call in northern Alberta by the name of Mike Traherne, and I'm sure you guys have heard Mike on my shows before. I want to thank Mike first for joining in on short notice and kind of put me on a spot that Jürgen isn't available. By the way, happy Mother's Day to all you great mothers out there, and keep up the good work. This is truly a great day to celebrate the family unit. Mike, thanks for coming in and joining me on short notice. That kind of threw me for a bit of a loop there. It always does when somebody doesn't show up at the last second. But thanks for coming in, and you're a great substitute, my friend.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm always here for you, Barry. You know that.
Pet peeve of the week, Mike.
Pet peeve of the week. Well, let me tell you. You know, it seems like over the social media sectors, a lot of people taking a beating. I was listening to back in the days when Harper was part of our administration here, and he was, you know, the guy to talk to. He had tried to take the schooling system out of the parents' hands, and it was quickly expunged. But I notice now that Michelle Rempel is doing her deal and trying to do the same very same thing again. I'm a little opposed to that. I'm a little upset about it, seeing as I still have children in school, and there's many other things that are happening with the Jason Kenney government of actually trying to expunge principals as leaders of the schools and making them just HR. And if you have a problem, you talk directly to the teachers. I do not think that is a very good plan. If you already have a discrepancy with a teacher, there's no one in the middle of that to middle it. And so I'm pretty concerned about this type of situation and the changing of our schooling system. When I've been working so hard in Alberta to take the schooling system out of the government's hands. And also second pet peeve, and we can enhance on a little bit, about our gun laws in Canada and what Justin Trudeau's about to announce in his secret society. I had spoken to the member elect in my area, and the answer I got was that they didn't know what I was talking about 4 hours after they asked the question in caucus with their own party.
Exactly. Oh, that's not something we can discuss right now, folks. Yeah, I know this. You know what, Mike? If he announces this, you are going to see an uproar in this country. Like you, I think this might be the straw that's going to break the camel's back as far as Canadians getting off their lazy butts and really getting involved in putting a stop to the madness we see. I think, you know, he might be just prodding the boat. He might just be poking the pig a little bit here right now, or poking the bear. I don't know if he'd actually go through with that. That would be something that would sink his party forever in Canada. And that would be something that would start almost a civil war in this country. Mike, put in the same mouthful, maybe that's what he wants. You know, we talk about the War Measures Act and the power of the War Measures Act. That's kind of a scary ground to go into, but that's something he might be kind of directing us into that direction. You know what I'm saying, brother?
I do. I do 100%. And of course, anybody in Canada that knows me will know that I am a severely not Jason Kenney fan. I have never been a Jason Kenney fan. And I've only been not a Jason Kenney fan, not because he's been in politics all his life, but all he's done is amalgamate parties and put them together. And then, you know, with Stephen Harper, become the founder of the Conservative Party. Things that he's done in his government, and he's promised people as far as, you know, immigration into our country, he has never pulled through on what he said. And I'll leave an example. When he first started bringing Filipinos into the country, he offered them and promised them that in 2 years they would have landed immigrancy and within 4 years have citizenship. Well, I have spoken to an awful lot of Filipinos from that era that still do not even have the opportunity to become a Canadian citizen. Still today, if you can believe that. That's like unbelievable. Yep. when it was brought to my attention, I said, what are you talking about? How long have you been here? And this was my cable guy, okay? He says, well, I've been doing the same job with a particular company, and that he just got his citizenship after 11 years, and he still can't bring his child to Canada, just him and his wife.
Yeah, we have the Canadian government fast-tracking illegals in a two-year period.
Or but now the backlog. Right,
well, yeah, that's after now. What was the last numbers I heard for backlog on hearings? I believe it's at 6 years now. I think that's the latest figure I heard, was 6 year wait before illegals can even have their asylum claims heard in Canada. So for that 6 year period, folks, those illegal immigrants are getting full benefits of all our social programs in Canada, are just being treated like gold by our Canadian government. And I'll tell you, Mike, this is something that's really got a lot of people that I talk to enraged about how Canadians are being treated and how illegals, not people that are going through the immigration system properly. These people are jumping in front of all these people. Some of them have spent years going through the legal immigration programs to get into Canada, and they still haven't got there. And now you have illegals walking across the border, claiming asylum, and getting full benefits of all Canadian social programs. I mean, this is really has got people's attention. But this, I'll tell you something, this firearms thing, this will really, really, really piss people off, Mike. I was talking to a good friend of mine, and Dan, 3 years ago, I said to him, he actually runs the gun department at Canadian Tire here in Terrace, British Columbia. And the gun department in Terrace here, guys, is huge. It covers about 100 feet of storefront at least. And there's got to be 500 or 600 rifles in there. Guns are very big up in this part of the world. And he, 3 years ago, well, not quite 3 years ago, Mike, I told him that, you know, the Trudeau government's going to come and try and disarm the Canadian public. And he laughed at me. And this morning I saw him and I said, Dan, are you still laughing? He says, Barry, I'm outraged. I have never, ever seen anything like this out of a government. So what it's doing, it's really getting people to look at everything this government's doing, not just the firearms issue. We look at Mark Norman. We look at SNC-Lavalin. We look at the borders. We look at our economy. We look at the trade sanctions. We look at everything going on with this government. There is nothing positive this government's doing. It's a program of utter destruction, Mike, and it's really coming fast. People are starting to wake up, though, buddy. They are.
You know, Barry, you know, they talk about ANC-Lavalin. I mean, Trudeau got obviously caught by asking the Attorney General to make some favors. We'll leave it at that so we don't get ourselves in too much trouble. But my biggest fear was always that Justin Trudeau may have his party say to stand down. And my biggest fear that Jody would run for leadership. And I think we talked about this off air once before.
Yeah,
and,
what a charade.
And everybody in Canada would vote for her because she told the truth. Everyone be very clear. This is the woman that signed C-75. This is the woman that signed C-70. This is the woman that put those agendas on the table without referendum. So always remember, for the Canadian public listening in, do not vote somebody that signed all of those new bills and then say, we feel bad for her because, you know, Justin asked her to do what he did and then she told the truth. Yes, she told the truth. Okay, I got it. But she's still a liberal. Just be careful. So Biden's aware. And when we turned towards our gun deal, you know, in rural Canada, I mean, we have lots of animals and lots of farms. And of course, long rifles are definitely a necessity when we have cougars that attack our animals and try to take them out. We have to have a way to defend our, you know, our businesses based on that alone. We have the visit coming from Macron and the other woman from New Zealand. I usually try to forget her name because, you know, we have a one striker in New Zealand. We don't even know if it's true. We don't really have any real heavy, you know, I mean, as people started pointing out the video that got very banned very fast, we were just, and this is a disgusting way to state it, but I still believe that it was just a setup and a mark. You know, usually when somebody comes in with that many bullets flying, the Americans would know this far greater than us Canadians would know because we're very naive to that. But which should tell you, you know, what it is. But there was no how do I put this? There was just no markings of someone being shot. If you know, there was no blood flying around and splattering walls. And was it a setup? And we haven't heard anything about it since. Was this a play marked by their government to make this happen and make it look real? You know, until somebody can show me some evidence of that, I'm going to stand on it was a played stay, and it was all in lieu of trying to take weapons away from its public. And we all know what happens to countries where weapons have been taken away. Just look at what's going on around the world.
Venezuela took the guns away from their citizens in 2012, and now they're shooting on their citizens. And people say, that can't happen here. We're in a democracy. What a joke. Oh, and by the way, it was a coincidence that New Zealand came out with gun bans about 4 days after that mosque shooting, isn't it, Mike? Just a coincidence, of course. Nothing to see here, folks. Coincidence. Yeah. I mean, if people can't see this agenda, I don't know what to say at this point, Mike, because it is totally in our face, and there is no denying. And yeah, Christchurch, Vinnie Eastwood has covered that extensively, and I've had a lot of conversations with him, Mike.
Yes.
And all he can tell me is it stinks to high heaven. Okay. Any of these events. If you look at any of the events that have happened in the last 10 years, Sandy Hook, all these shootings, et cetera, they all seem to have something that just ain't quite right in the background. And tell me that's a coincidence, Mike. Come on. Sandy Hook, I've looked into Sandy Hook a lot, buddy, and I'm not going to get into that one today, but I have done a lot of looking into that. And, boy, I'll tell you, people really better have a second look at that one. Go ahead.
Well, we better have a second look at all of it because you know, as we get called conspiracy theorists, and they have type of situations that's, you know, it's just very, very particular that these things would be happening, and then the political agenda that follows it. So, you know, we have great ways of setting things up, and, you know, the governments believe that they're very smart, and a general populace here actually believe a lot of things. And I know that we're not used to change in Canada, you know, especially when it comes to government. I think that Canada had its hearts set on the Conservative government. A lot of people that are screaming out about Maxime Bernier. I just want to make something clear to the Canadian public, if I can, and to the Americans. In our country, when we vote in an electoral division, the only way that we get those leaders brought into the mix is if you're a member of the party and you get to vote. So you have to join the party, you have to get a membership, and then you're allowed to vote. The general public aren't allowed to vote on that. So 49% was in favor of Maxime Bernier. And after they had their problems there, and we could go on for hours about that, and possibly we may go more in this show, they excluded 49% of their members' support. And that was something that the Conservative government that did. That's not the people that were members that voted for leadership. Plus, we have a discrepancy from the very day after that was on the CBC, which are not usually prone to talking this way, that they were going to have a recount because of the lost ballots.
7,980 of them.
And it was completely expunged immediately. We never heard it again in the next hour. That had been taken out of the news.
And so, they shredded the evidence. Imagine that. What a coincidence.
And we have 40 Lavalin deals in Canada, okay? We are completely establishment outside interest impacted in Canada. Completely. Donald Trump talked about it in his country, and I'm going to talk about it in our country. There are many things that go on in our government that have deals like Lavalin and companies that have been charged that are still able to bid or be part of the contractorial side of our political agenda and the support, even though they break laws. You know, I was watching a guy from the guy from Boston the other day, and he was talking about this 500-person company that has many, many, many discrepancies within this company of child abuse and spousal abuse and alcoholism and DUIs and so many charges that you would just be appalled to deal with anybody in any way, shape, or form that would be involved in a company like that. So I was watching his video, and as it came to the end of the day, he says, "Let me tell you the name of the company." And it was called the Democratic Party on the Hill. And we have the same things in Canada. We have people that have criminal records and have done things very, very slanted and sideways that get hushed down to the public, and they still govern our country. And there should be a rule against that. You shouldn't be able to have a criminal record of any sort to stand in a leadership role, whether it be provincial or federal, whether it's an MLA or whatever it might be. We should not be able to govern if we're in those situations, especially if it happened while we were governors.
So yeah, all those laws have been thrown out the window. There is no rule of law for the government anymore in this country, and we see that more and more and more all the time. Just the fact that SNC-Lavalin, folks, I know anybody over in that part of the world over there listening, if you're not really up to snuff on SNC-Lavalin, the interference with the Attorney General, there's never been a more open and closed case for that now in Canadian history. And in the Canadian Criminal Code, it states that any perceived interference with the Attorney General is a criminal charge. And here we have absolutely undeniable proof out of his own words, out of his own mouth, that he interfered, and yet nothing is being done by the RCMP in Canada. That really speaks volumes, Mike, how far the roots of corruption have gotten into our society, that the RCMP now are just another big arm of the Trudeau government. I didn't think I'd ever be able to say that in my lifetime, Mike, in this country, but that's exactly what's going on right now, folks. Go ahead, Mike.
It is absolutely going on, Barry. And you know, when Derek Fildebrandt and Marilyn Burns were running in the lesser parties here for leadership for Alberta, and it was a Jason Kenney, Rachel Notley stab, we ended up doing quite a few things. But in Derek Fildebrandt's program, it was to protect Alberta's borders. Now, I'm only talking about Alberta, and it meant protecting Alberta's borders in many ways. In immigration and the sales of our products and all of those things that we should have a say, which we do have a say if our governments ran the correct way. The federal government, for those who don't know, they are not allowed, it's an actual law in this country, it's very past, that the federal government cannot tell a province what to do whatsoever, and that's why we hold our own governing bodies. That's the way our country's made. So we do everything we can within the provinces to help the federal government on trade, on what we buy and sell, and you know, it's just like any other business, you know, buy, sell, bring as much, hopefully you get better money going for the country. But it's usually in selling our products. So the other day, I had a discussion with a guy about how that works and how our leaders always go to the federal government and then we blame it on the federal government as far as our own governing bodies. And the deal came up about the RCMP contract. Well, Barry, you know me as well, and I've come up with it many times. Look, if we can't get the RCMP because of the incorporations, the way we're set up in this country, if we can't get the RCMP on track to saying no to the federal government, then we have to expunge the contract, and that will get rid of the RCMP. It's very simple stuff. Quebec and Ontario do it already. It's a very minute RCMP in Quebec and Ontario, and they have the OPP and the QPP, and they have their metropolitan police in their cities as well, and it works very well. So, our agenda on that, do we have anything to state to the RCMP? Well, you know what? We do. If we took the RCMP and expunged their contract, we obviously need policing. So they're obviously going to have the opportunity to do two things. They're able to police either in another province or this province. They get paid out a pension and then carry on a new pension with the provincial policing. They don't have to move every 4 years, which uproots their families. They have discrepancies in their families because the RCMP believe that you shouldn't get to know your neighborhood. Well, I disagree. Quite the contrary, actually. I think our RCMP should know our neighborhood. And it's always nice to know a cop that you've known for 25 years in your neighborhood, and you're able to pull them aside and say, hey, look, this is going on. And they know the person they're talking to. Mm-hmm. So instead of going...
That's all done by design, Mike. Of course. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Completely by design. And you're right, Barry. I mean, it is. But that doesn't mean it's correct, which we know that that's not correct. So everything is by design. We were talking about polls this morning, and everybody's saying, you know, what are you so worried about to the conservative government? Because Maxime Bernier is only at 2%. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. A few of us around the country started making those polls, and people actually pulled them as the gospel. And I've always said, well, who's the source? Nobody answers it. But I have a friend of mine that's been making these polls up for a year. He has no idea where they're sitting. And yet they still believe that Maxime Bernier is at 2%. That's great. We want them believing that, so that the sleeping giant comes awake. This blue wave that has moved across the country is not all in favor of Andrew Scheer. Just because they went on the blue conservative wave, when the only actual conservative we have, and I don't want to get the Andrew Scheer guys upset, because, oh my gosh, don't get them upset over weak little schoolboy Andrew, that my concern would be him sitting at a G20 summit. What kind of argument does this
twiddling
guy
his have? Twiddling his thumbs. he when I listen to him, Mike, it reminds me of listening to a bowl of jelly.
Well, he's the weak link in the party. I mean,
he is the worst leader they could have picked, in my opinion.
Look at Pierre.
But he's the proper leader because he's going to carry the mandate out. Go ahead.
He's going to carry the mandate out that Trudeau carries out, yes.
Of course.
The mandate. So
he's a conservative globalist, buddy. He's all he is. Go ahead.
Well, he's a little lefty. So, you know, as our governments went alt-left, I mean, you know, here comes Andrew, and he's kind of center-left. I don't see a conservative or in the States a Republican bone in anybody's body. Now, we're quite not like the U.S. We're a very small population. We're 36 million in a country that's the size of, let's just say bigger than most countries combined in the world. And a lot of us Canadian people, or some people in Canada, may believe that, you know, we have a big stronghold and a big say in the world. Well, you know what? Surprise, surprise, we don't. And we don't have any say, as a matter of fact, other than thanks for coming to the G20 summit. It was nice to meet you. Have a nice plane ride home.
Yeah.
That's about all that happens there.
Here's the script. Don't forget it.
Correct. See? So, and that is the facts, Barry. You and I have talked about this lots, you know, and I've taken a big pounding in the live media in Canada, man, let me tell you. Well, it's just the facts. And, like, you know, if we bring up facts, you can make up all the fiction you want. But the facts are the facts. And people don't like to hear facts because, oh, my gosh, what is it? All right, it's the truth. So and they want to be the ones out there saying, no, that's not true because that's not my opinion. And I've been a shipper receiver all my life. And now I own a group that's going to run this country. Okay. All right, then. And so they, in our country, to the Americans, it's kind of laughable. And it's not laughable for me because I love my country and I love my neighbors. And you know, it's really funny that people will bring together then a Facebook party. So I made a comment the other day and just said, hey, I hope your Facebook party does really well at the G20 summit. I'm really interested on what you have to say.
Yeah, as if.
Exactly. So, and we got a bunch of clowns running it. So, you know, whatever, man. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff. I don't pay attention too much to social media, really. You know, it's not something I've ever done. I used to go live a lot on it, just sort of having a discussion with people about, you know, patriotism and how countries work and how we defend ourselves from it, hopefully. And like talking to the conservatives the other day, there's got to be a loophole somewhere in our system. Don't just tell me no, there isn't. That stalls the federal government. We've had other governors around the world that get stalled. Hell, it happened to Bill Clinton. So, and I know in America that the Clintons are, you know, such wonderful people, sarcastically saying.
That's why they can't get $2 for somebody to go watch them now.
And the reason that they left the White House broke. You know what I mean? So, you know, we had a president and then we had Hillary in her position. And funny, they had no money. Then you look at their foundation. Well, they have a hell of a lot of money, obviously. And from special interest groups. Same with our guy Trudeau.
We could get into the discussion of corruption in American politics for hours, but Roger Landry is actually going to touch on some of this the next hour, Mike, about some of the things that are going on right now and the implications in the very near future. So I'm looking forward to hearing that in the second hour from him, because he's kind of got his finger on the pulse down there. But it doesn't matter where you look, Mike. You can be looking at any country in the world right now. We're seeing the exact same agenda being played out. We see a tremendous, tremendous rise towards nationalism all around the world right now. No matter where elections are being held, we're seeing nationalists and governments being elected. And yes. We can name multiple instances of that in the last 6 months, Mike, that we're seeing it change. Maxime Bernier, to me, honestly, I feel really that he is the only choice Canada has right now. Because Andrew Scheer is just a watered-down Justin Trudeau, folks. And if you think everything that Andrew Scheer is saying to you right now, he is going to bring to power or bring into law when he gets his hands on the power in this country, then I think you're being misled very, very deeply. I believe that the best thing we could see right now in Canada would be perhaps a split three-way on the vote between the Conservatives, the PPC, and the Liberals, so that all three parties and hold each other in check, and some of the insanity you see going on right now in government would come to a stop. I think it's possible. The way I'm talking to people now, Maxime Bernier is really gaining a lot of attention. And yeah, these polls you see, folks, don't pay any attention to them at all, because the polls in the United States of America, 2 days before their election, had Hillary with majority, absolute landslide victory, not a possibility of Trump becoming president, and we all know what happened down there. So pay no attention to him.
You know, I have to agree on the Max thing. I mean, he's taking a lot of a beating. You know, the Canadian people, if you look through social media where the big arguments are going, I mean, everybody's fighting. So you know, there's not even a conversation anymore. You can't even have one. Everybody wants to attack instead. So instead, I just stay away from it. But with Maxime Bernier, the Canadian public, and so for you that are listening in the Canadian public, we had a cry out over the last, you know, few years that we wanted people to protect the interests of our immigration. We needed people to talk about borders. We needed people to talk about our taxes. We needed someone to step up to the plate that was for the people and only for the people. And Max is actually doing that. And we talked about on our live discussions on social media about how corrupt the Canadian government actually is. And the biggest portion of the corruptness in the country, long before this split up, we brought it up, Tim Malnichuk and I, very many, many, many times. Mm-hmm. And we said the Conservative government is the most corrupt government in Canada. And Canada's government is the most corrupt, the top three in the world, bar none.
I know. The ratings are
so passive. We spoke about that years ago. Before, in the campaign, when Max was running against Andrew Scheer, we did two live discussions on Maxime Bernier would leave the Conservative Party. Maxime Bernier didn't even know that at the time. So it's an easy thing to call, and it seems like when we make suggestion, Barry, you, I, a few people in the country that actually say something, there's not many of us, that actually have something to say that takes such slander on and such bashing on from the left, the liberal right, is what I call them, because, you know, all amperage is on Jason Kenney is going to be the savior of Alberta. Well, what did he do about carbon tax? The first thing he was going to do was he was going to walk in the door and he was stopping carbon tax. That was his first administration. He's going to lay it on the table right away the day after he takes the House. Well, that was last week. So what he did was up here, for Americans that don't know, we have a new Democratic Party, the NDP. And in actual fact, what he's done on our carbon tax is now hired the guy who watched over it from the NDP and put him in his party crossing the floor. This was a day after. Because what is Jason Kenney? Well, I may get in trouble and I might have a cop at my door sometime, but I'm going to continue to say this. Jason Kenney has only done two things in his life. He has put together the Alliance Party and the Reform Party, we call it up here, which then went over and now became the founder of the Conservative Party in Canada, which had been in our government since the start of time. Yet Stephen Harper is the founder of the party. So any of the Canadians can go look that up. Just look up Stephen Harper, tells you founder of the Conservative Party. It's pretty self-explanatory. Doesn't take much to look at that. We're all pretty educated and we can read. So people don't want to go look there, though, because they're afraid to see that. So Jason Kenney has done very good. Then he comes. There was a PC or progressive conservative government in Alberta, which screwed our province for 44 years completely. The government knew that we would never get another PC government in Alberta. Nobody trusted it. Hence the reason Rachel Notley won. So he comes out here with all his PC ammunition and turns it into the UCP. Again, in a takeover and a merge of a party, and then kicks everybody out from the party or puts them in such a lesser position that they have no say at all. They if they said anything, he'd fire them. These are elected people. And Jason Kenney, I'm going to stand on it. Liar, 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 liar. You have never done anything you have ever said in your life in Parliament. I don't even understand how you, in fact, even have a job in the government. And now you're running our province because we're so weak as a Canadian people that we really want to truly believe that someone's going to do something for us in leadership of a government. Mm. Well, I think the U.S. can pretty much jump all over that and say, no, Canadians, chill out, man. Use your gut. Don't be listening to these corrupt bastards. And then, you know, what do we got? We're stuck with Jason Kenney for four more long years, and he's not going to sell any of Alberta's products, of which we're 33% of the country's income. Mm. Yet we're shut down. We're shut down in our grain. We're shut down in our clean coal. We have the cleanest coal in the world. We're shut down in our oil, and we can't even grow cattle now. We're down 200,000 head a month because we can't afford the carbon tax because cattle pee. Isn't that surprising? So now we have a carbon tax levy on. Now,
I'm laughing at the insanity. Go ahead.
I mean, it's hysterical. It's hysterical. It is hysterical.
Well, it'd make a great comedy line, wouldn't it?
Well, we fall for it every time. We're like the champ on TV. Morning, everybody. It's me, the champ.
Soon they're going to tax our farts. Mike,
now Jason Kenney wants to put a sales tax.
And then they add the GST on top of that.
See, and he keeps the carbon tax. So my friend put out a deal on a person that makes $100. And out of his paycheck, the time he buys a little bit of gas, he's paying 73% of his $100 to the government. He hasn't even bought a hot dog yet.
Well, any family in Canada right now, a family of four, get a load of this, Mike, a family of four in Canada earning $85,000 a year pays approximately, and this is right from Canadian Taxpayers Federation, done studies on this, $35,000 of that, $85,000, is going to the government indirectly through many, many taxes that they pay. So you're talking almost half of their income is going to the government.
Absolutely.
It's time for a revolution in this country, folks. But it's happening everywhere, Mike. It doesn't matter. You look at Canada, you look at the United States, Australia, France is dying under the tax burdens. I mean, people are going to the street now in France, and that is really getting ramped up. And we see all kinds of coalitions forming to stand against the government. And, yeah, Macron's coming to Canada to make friends while him and Justin Trudeau. I don't want to say what I think of those two, what they do behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Don't even want to go. We can't go there, Mike, but you got a pretty idea what I'm talking about. Thinking.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, nothing to do with all the pedophiles and all the other people that he's tied into and the fact that they've been to the Bohemian Grove and they're all bum buddies and they're all kind of what they're doing behind the curtains. Well, we don't have time to go down that rabbit hole today, Mike, but you know that's a deep and dirty and ugly one.
That's a very deep and dirty, ugly one, and not to be, you know, any condescending anyways, but against the polls, yeah, those two are pretty close. So,
it's like him and Barry when they met in Washington. You see the videos on that? Like they wanted to just give each other a great big wet one, but they couldn't. They're holding back. Come on, we can't do that in front of the camera, Barry. Got to wait till later. I think someone was about to cry or something.
Yeah.
I watched that and I'm going, "This is this really the world I'm living in now?" I mean,
you know, we
beam me up, Scotty. Please beam me up.
Please. And you know what? We always used to say, you know, it was a big topic in Western culture, not in my lifetime, not in our lifetime. And I brought up this a couple of years back. I said, then whose lifetime? We've been saying not in our lifetime forever, but what lifetime will it be? So it looks like it's our lifetime. And look what's going on in the U.S. You know, I deal a lot with the U.S. in the day. I mean, it's been a big part of my business for the last 30 years. Without the Americans, I'd have nothing. So my connection base down there is very strong, and we get very adverse opinions. But at the end of the day, you know, I can see why some of the left doesn't like Donald Trump. I really can't. I mean, he's created, what is it now, 5 million jobs, largest investment in the country ever, lowest unemployment rate in, I don't know, 20 some odd years, doing some great things for his country and his people, building Japanese cars in America for the first time ever. He's making deals all over the place. And then they say, well, what about the sanctions on China? Look, China needs its butt spanked. Okay, China's been getting away with this stuff far too long. So I agree with Donald Trump that, you know what, we're going to slap a tariff on you till we come to an agreement. Then everybody gets freaked out. They go, oh my God. Well, anybody in sales, please, all you salespeople out there, please hear me out. We always go for the top. We have to go for the top so that when we settle in the middle, we got a 1% gain. So if you go with the 1% gain, you're at a deficit because you're losing the battle. So we've always got to go to the extreme to get back down in reality. There's a video going around about the California and the Pelosi's, and I can go on all about that. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi comes from a family of a father who was the largest heroin dealer in California. And they made billions of dollars on supplying heroin to their people in the state and then sent it into a $2 trillion loss of debt, put the state in peril. You know, the people that are running these places are drug dealers. They kill economies. They hurt people. And then you get Nancy Pelosi. And I mean, look at her. I think she's Maxine Waters. I think they've gone a little senile or something wrong with them. I don't know what the hell is going on. Maybe they're doing heroin too. I don't know. But, you know, that's conspiracy theory, and I don't think that's true. But bottom line is, you know, these people are whacked in the head, literally. I mean, it's become such a mess that Donald Trump hasn't even been able to govern. And he's going to win again, and the same thing's going to happen. They're going to continue not to govern, and we need to govern our countries. We need to have borders. I think we need more borders. I think we need more walls. And I think since Reagan's administration in Germany, when he said, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Worst thing that ever could happen because it started to take the burden of walls from people.
Okay, question, Mike. Where could people go right now to see stats on American job increases and the actual job figures and what actually is going on in the United States of America? Because, of course, in chat here, I'm getting some pushback on the statement of 5 million new jobs. I haven't actually looked at the government figures myself, but I know that the American economy is doing better right now than it has in years. But my pushback against that, Mike, is going to be, I'm going to make this statement, and I've always maintained this, that we are in a giant charade, and Trump is doing, there's no denying that Trump is doing some really good things for the United States of America. But me, I have to stay outside the box. I have to look at everything I see going on in our world right now as a giant charade. And he might be playing a part to secure support from the American people for a time coming down the road when he can completely turn on the American people. If you don't think that's possible, folks, then I beg to differ with you. So I really have to stand off with Trump. I like what he's doing. I like a lot of things he's doing. Absolutely no denying that. But I'm always going to be standoffish on that that gentleman.
I have to say that I agree with you. I don't know, you know, we don't know the inner workings, and he does
exactly, Mike. What's going on in the big meetings?
Well,
where, all the big players get together and they discuss how they're going to manipulate society's opinion, how they're going to implement this, how they're going to make this work, and then they poke the bear, and then they find out, and they poke over here, and they find out. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, this is my concern about Donald Trump. We know that 22 states in the country have practicing and training ISIS and those types of regimes actually training in this country. Now, this was brought up long before he was president. And I just wondered this. why hasn't there been a military move to stop that and get them out of the country? That's just been a question of mine, and it's been a question of mine since he started. So I am not all Trump, but he's a little bit of light. I'm not going to say that he's not a part of the world agenda, because that's his job. He's got to be part of the world agenda. And his discussions that go on between closed doors, we will never know. Going on Russian collusion and all the things that have disturbed your government, I believe it's part of the play to keep us diverted away from what actually is going to go on in the end. The last thing we need to do, like Ronald Reagan said at the very end of his address when he was leaving his governed position, he said it straight out, very end of it. Anybody can look it up on Google. If we lose America, there is no place to go. And he was very correct. And from that day forward, I don't know why he said that at the time, because things were fairly good. But, you know, he made the address and made the statements and gave us clarity that we have to stand up for America. I believe that Donald Trump is standing up for America. How he works those deals, I don't know how they're going to go. I'm going to stand on believing he's going to try his best to do it in favor of the American public and that he protects his country. And, the former governments depleted your military. They took away your stability. They lost your credibility. Trump came out speaking against, we go to wars and we don't get paid. We save people around the world. We don't get paid. We spend trillions of dollars doing this all the time. I agreed with him. I said, you know what? When we come and assist a country, there should be some way of compensation. After all, we're laying people's lives down on the line for people that have a discrepancy in another place. So that I will agree on. I'm not going to say that I'm all Trump, but I'll tell you what, I'm really happy that he won and Hillary Clinton didn't, because America would have a new face right now. And you'd have 500 million people in there, and it would be absolute mayhem. It would be out of control. Borders would be wide open. There'd be no border. It is a threat on America. I just wish that, you know, in this state of what we're talking about and the people that are causing disruptions in our world, and we know who they are, and I won't put it on the show because I don't know how we are as far as stating certain things of that nature, but let's just call it a threat upon America. And at the end of the day, I would rather have a border security down at South America and bring Mexico into North America and Canada to have a relationship to defend North America and our sovereignty as far as Western culture. And we should allow, we have discrepancy everywhere, but I would rather take 500,000 Mexicans in Canada by far, because I've been to California lots in my life and find the Mexican people to be very nice people. You're going to have MS-13. You're going to have the UN in Canada. We're going to have people that shoot people and hurt people and control the drug trade. We're going to have that everywhere in the world, and we already do. So this is nothing new. But at the end of the day, I believe that there's more better than not. And just a chance. I mean, I used to go down into Ontario, California when I was driving my truck on my own, and I had one truck, and I'd run produce up and down to Canada, and Toronto, and all over the place out of California. And I met a lot of Mexican people. They were very hardworking people. They always kept their cars clean. They were clean. They combed their hair. They dressed well. They had pride in themselves. And even though they were ridiculed and taken, now, I'm not going to say that some of them have brought crime to the country. Absolutely. So is every other culture. And the attack goes out about them. But, you know, I would rather see that this defend our North American status and settle our little bits of differences that we have and create a strong, you know, resistance against the world and say, no, not here. We're not going to have that. So, and if people are there causing these kind of problems in our country, then very simple statement. Don't put them in jail. Don't put them on our taxpaying ticket. Send them home. Deport them. Get them out of here. Send them back to where they came from.
Immigration in Canada, you know, prior to the Pierre Elliott Trudeau becoming prime minister, guys, immigration was set up in a way that you came to Canada understanding that you had to assimilate to our culture. You had to learn our official languages, and you had to get a job because there was no meal ticket waiting for you. Now we have a situation where the government is just opening the door wide open to people that will never, some of them never assimilate to our culture, and are not going to contribute economically to the country.
Right.
So what are we doing? This is economic and cultural treason being played out on the Canadian people. But we could talk forms of treason being perpetrated by this government in five or six different situations, that they're not being held accountable. But that's what $600 million buys you, I guess, eh, Mike?
Well, you know, I mentioned the other day that if we can't sell our products around the world, and we've sold out our country, as Harper's administration did, to our whole grain industry and everything else, Saudi owns it all, but we're allowed to sell it. And I just said, hey, man, then let's make a poke at Russia. Canada and Russia have always got along just fine. I like Trump's idea of getting along with Putin. I get it. We've had a good relationship with Russia, actually, through a hockey game in the 70s, the world would remember of any type of age. We broke the Iron Curtain through a hockey game. And 18 years later, 20 years later, it was a democracy. And we broke the Iron Curtain, and we took down communism around the world up to, I think it was about 80-some-odd percent. China's always been communist, but, you know, I don't know. As Trudeau's brother would say, well, they're a kind of socialist communist. Okay, isn't that the same thing? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. But any form of communism or socialism does not work in the world. So I said, you know, let's make it out to Russia. Let's get a good relationship with them, something Putin would probably love. When our sports teams go to Russia and we win medals, he shows up and he thanks the Canadians for coming down with their hockey teams and congratulations of being the founders of hockey. A big hockey guy is in the news the other day. I guess we saw him trip over a mat when he was waving to all the people while he was on the ice playing hockey. But the bottom line was he was playing hockey. So, I watched a thing on the automotive industry yesterday, and they were talking about the new lineups of the new cars. And right in the deliberation, even the guy who was speaking about the cars and saying that our liberal-minded people in Canada think it's going all electric, guess again, get your head out of your ass, basically, is what he said. I've never seen a car show that made a plug on our Canadian government. That's the first I've ever seen that. So, and then he continued to talk about the new Hyundai that was a hydrogen-based vehicle, high-end fuel, great on the economy, and great on our carbon factor. Now, let's keep that in mind, too. Carbon that comes out of cars is a very, 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 very minor amount of carbon that we put off in the world, very, very small. Is it good? No, because it gives it out. Of course not. But it's a very, very small number. And everyone says, oh, if you just stopped doing cars, you wouldn't have a carbon problem. That's not true. It's just not true. You just have to look at the numbers, and it's so squeaky tiny. It's unbelievable that they're even trying to push the button on that being the carbon problem. Our country, our world needs carbon. That's why we have volcanoes erupting. Barry, you and I have been through this a lot of time, because guess what? We need carbon.
One volcano just went off. Where was it? Down in Indonesia. Released as much carbon and greenhouse gases that all civilization has produced since the beginning of civilization produced these gases. And that's one volcano. And they're going off all the time. Well, that's Earth's natural way of replenishing carbon on the planet, which is the food of our planet. And we got the government going, we're going to take money and we're going to fix this problem. We're going to get rid of carbon. I mean, this charade just makes me sick, Mike. It really does.
Breathe.
Yeah, no, people can't see through this is beyond me, but real science is, of course, shut right down. It's not part of the discussion anymore. And if you talk real science, you are a nutcase, you're an Islamophobic bigot, and a racist, and a white supremacist, Mike.
So I guess that's me, then.
Yeah, that's me. Call me all those
I guess
names.
I fall into that category, that I'm a racist, bigot, conspiracy theorist, of course, in Canada. Not many people know us in the U.S., but up in Canada here, you know, people, I'm not saying I'm the most popular, because I'm certainly not, but a lot of people know us, Barry. And we are ones that come out with solidified arguments. We don't just go blabbing off about dominions and, you know, things of all that nature. That's like, we're talking 1903. Anybody notice 2020s on the way?
Sorry, Mike, I went dead there for a sec. What'd you say?
I said that, you know, we have all the people that talk about the backbone of where we started in Canada and how our dominions worked and where you run a de facto government. Yeah, well, you know what? Let me tell you something about governments. Every government in the world, every single government in the world is a de facto government. This is nothing new. This is things that have been going on. And does Canada have a de facto government? Well, I guess so. I don't know. I don't know if I call it I don't know what you call it, but it seems like the new world was de facto. And with Doug Force, you know, he did a very good thing on Canada the Myth. I've been following Doug for years. I've never really spoken to the guy, but, you know, I did agree with what he was saying. And you know, he was correct, and he is correct, and he's a really smart guy.
Duke Willis.
And I'm glad that he's on Canada's side. But in order to change that, it takes an uprising of people. Canadians are very passive. We've been told, and Americans would know this, we've been told all our life that we're really nice. And we are really nice. But it made us non-defensive. And it made it to come to this conclusion to where we're at together, that we don't know how to defend. We don't know how to do that. We're not like Americans that are patriotic. They stand up. They take their AR-15 and they're ready to defend. They're not ready to go out and shoot people, but they're certainly ready to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. And now in Canada, in case the Americans don't know, and this happened to my brother, so I know very well, if somebody walks in your home and is a threatening to you, you're not allowed to defend yourself. They are in the right. My brother, an example, he's in the house. He's downstairs working. He lives in a pretty big house in BC there. I won't say where, but... you know, and he comes upstairs and here's this guy asleep on his couch. He's got his two girls in the house and his wife. And he thought the guy maybe didn't find his way. He just was drunk or whatever. So he goes, "Hey, man, you need to get out of the house." And he says, "No, I'm not getting in the house." He goes, no, you're getting out of my house." He says, "No, I'm not." So my brother, you know, not aggressively, just tries to guide him. The guy starts to fight on the way out the door. My brother throws him out the door. The RCMP show up at the door and charge him. Okay, he charged him with assault. The guy was in his house, sleeping on his couch. Wow. Unbelievable state of affairs that's going on up there. And it's all in light of what's going on around us so that we have no defense. So they take our guns. We're not allowed to defend ourselves. And we end up in a ghetto starving because, oh, did I mention this? Because we're white. And I don't normally to pull that Trump card. Because I don't, because we're a cultured country and we're the only country in the world that made that successful. But I hate now that they've turned it to a pigment in a skin. And what our governments do, they blame on us as a public. And Ronnie Cameron speaks out about that out of Toronto, a good young journalist, a friend of ours. And he's pretty much had to go away from the media source itself because people took him as a racist and oh my God, how could you say that? And in actual fact, we're under attack. Why are we under attack? What did we ever do to anybody?
We're being invaded.
Well, we didn't do a thing. Sorry, you know, I'm not going to say I'm not proud to be white, and I'm proud of people that are black and stand up and say they're proud to be black, and I'm proud they stand up that they say they're black. That's good. I don't know if I think very much on Black Lives Matter and how it's all turned into a big mess. We're all equal, man. We're just people, and it doesn't come in a color or race. Some people like to cause a lot of harm, do a lot of drugs, kill people. There's people out there that want to do that. So... you know, at the end of the day,
that hour went fast, Mike.
I know, Barry, you and I don't have problems with hours. I'm sorry. Well, you call me to fill in and I get going sometimes and you know how to lead me. And then it turns me into a million things. So,
yeah, well, you're kind of like my next guest. You're the Duracell bunny, you know, and you get you going. It's hard to get you stopped. But it's all good, Mike. It's all good. Well,
I'd just like to say thanks for the radio station that you guys write. Steve, I know you're listening. You do such a great job for us, and you let us blab on like this. And Barry, you know, always appreciated, always respected, and you're a good friend of mine, and I appreciate you allowing me to come on to speak my voice.
Hey, Mike, thanks for filling in at the last minute for Jurgen, and going to be back in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes with one and only Roger Landry. And he's going to talk about some going on in the United States of America that probably might want to hear about, folks, as it's directly going to affect our lives. Back in 3-4 minutes. Tune in. Listen, you're welcome to sit in the room if you want, Mike.
Sure. I'll tune back in and give you the few minutes to set back up. I got to return a couple calls, but I'll definitely come back in, Barry.
Okay, guys, I'll be back in 3 minutes.
Thanks, guys.
Well, welcome back to Second Hour, and thanks to Mike Jahern again for filling in on short notice for Jurgen Volbreth. Of course, I've got Roger Landry in for the second hour, and I really don't need to do any introductions for Roger because he's been on multiple shows with me, and I'm sure you guys have heard him talk many, many times, but I really enjoy my conversations with Roger, And I really respect his depth of knowledge and understanding what's going on, especially in the United States of America today. And I kind of want to talk about that a little bit, Roger, with the Mueller report and Nancy Pelosi, that psychopathic person, and all the stuff that's coming out about her right now. It just, where's this all going, Roger? What the hell's going on in America? I thought we had chaos up here, but you got just as much chaos going down there. Maybe not quite as much as us, but pretty close.
Okay, we see it a whole lot different than you do. We see right now is you have a whole lot less issues than we do. And and what you see rolling across the northern border into Canada and the news you get, so on and so forth, that is well above what we would consider to be reality. You and I both know that the mainstream media is telling you the top 10%, and that 10% is either to freak you out or to pacify you. There's no real in between. So what you're hearing about what's going on in the United States, that mainstream media news is basically set up so that the rest of the world thinks that can anybody hear me? All I hear is static. Yeah. All I hear is static.
No, we're hearing you okay. No, you're sounding good on our end.
Okay, so anyway, we're sitting in a situation where the mainstream media is doing exactly what you and I have been talking about for years, all right? They're hiding 90% of reality below the surface, just like an iceberg, all right? But the problem with an iceberg is the 10% that sits above doesn't tell you the mountainous issues sitting just below. So when you run into it, it tears the bottom of your boat out and you sink. You go, what happened? What you're seeing and what the rest of the world is seeing is what the mainstream media wants them to see. The United States right now is on the verge of economic collapse, on the verge of, into social decay, and political shenanigans that are going on are beyond anything we have seen in modern history.
I have to agree. What I'm seeing down there right now is just a circus, and I see a nation falling apart right now, Roger. And so many different aspects, and you hit on a couple of them. The moral standards of any society really implicates is an indicator of where that society is going in the very near future. And right now, I see the moral decay in the United States of America. It's nothing like I've ever seen in my lifetime, Roger. And there's a lot of different things we could talk about in that respect, but we won't get deep down that rabbit hole. But it's just all part of the big picture or puzzle.
Big puzzle.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good name for a radio show, buddy.
Maybe. Got to try that someday. If you stop to consider what you just said, okay, the moral decay. I need to explain something to our audience, and I don't know if you've heard me say this before, and if you have, please just have a little bit of patience for those who have not. We're talking about moral decay. We're talking about a republic that rules the world. We're talking about a republic whose authority and power was nobody dared to challenge. We're talking about if you did, it meant that war was going to happen and you were going to lose. That's how powerful this republic was and how powerful it gravitated to a point of self-destruction. It gravitated to a point where you had apathetic society, where you had complacent society, where you had ignorant society, not stupid. There's a difference. Ignorance means you lack the knowledge to do something properly. All right. Everybody here thinks I'm talking about the United States. I'm not. I'm talking about Greece. I'm talking about Rome. I'm talking about how many times does this have to frickin' happen before people wake up and realize that's exactly what's happening in this country. Exactly. And when you talk about the moral decay, Barry, you hit the nail right on the head. But it isn't because the American people wanted moral decay. It's because this was stuck down our throat as a way to absolutely enslave this society. Make us ignorant. Make us, I don't know, basically what you said, immoral.
Roger, think about this for a second. If we could take the programming we're seeing right now on TV and take it back to 1960 and put it on the air for 24 hours in front of the public, what would you see?
It wouldn't be allowed.
You would see riots in the street. You would see farmers walking down the street with pitchforks heading to the offices and broadcasting facilities of NBC and MSNBC and all the other people that put this on the air. But now what we see in society is a complete flip from what you and I remember as a kid, because we are 15 days apart. So we really got a pretty good idea what it was like back then and what society put up with. But what they've done, Roger, they have slowly, incrementally made these changes in society. Because if you did this overnight and you brought in all the crap we're seeing now overnight on society in a very, very short period of time, society would rise up against it. They would see what you're doing and they'd call it out. But what we see now is the new norm. And it's how it's being promoted and mandated to society. Go ahead.
Why is it the new norm? Okay, again, people hear that all the time. And when you don't explain these, I don't know, those cute little phrases that people use to identify things or tag things with, then people get the wrong ideas. We're looking at a society today that has been conditioned. You don't turn an aircraft carrier on a sharp 90-degree turn. If you do, that sucker's tipping over and that ship's sinking. It's too damn big. It has to turn in small increments over at least a mile to do a 90-degree turn, unless it's really hauling. So the point here is you nudge it a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and eventually what you see is you've taken this massive ship and you've totally reversed the course. And what did you have to do? A couple of degrees at a time. The American people, the Canadian people, the people of the European Union, we're all in the same boat, all right? We have taken small incremental changes that continue to come at us over and over again. None of them big enough to wake us up and say, hey, what the hell are they doing? This ain't right.
Yep.
But they're each big enough to nudge us in a direction they wish us to go. At right now, most people out there don't understand just how much this is being utilized against what we call free societies on this planet. Let me give you a hint, okay? They wanted and absolutely needed, the powers that be, a reason to go into the Middle East, take over all of the oil, and install Federal Reserve-style banks in each one of these nations. There were five nations in the Middle East that were targeted in the late 1990s, but they couldn't do anything. Why couldn't they do anything? Because they didn't have a catalyst. 2001, September 11th, the catalyst came, and when that catalyst hit, everybody says, oh, my God, we don't want this. We're being dragged into a war. What most people don't understand is General Westmoreland and a couple of others saw developed plans 2 years earlier to do exactly what we did, after the false flag 9/11. Mm-hmm. That was one case where society was slammed into a different direction very, very quickly. That doesn't happen very often. Pearl Harbor was another. Pearl Harbor was another. That was
the
another.
The Gulf of Tonkin incident
was another. Yes.
Well, yeah, we could talk about false flag and the Maine, the explosion on the Maine. I mean, you could talk about false flag.
Oklahoma City.
You know, how many have they perpetrated? I mean, we could get the list up sometime and really knock it out to people how many times they've used this. But they continue to use it, Roger, because it works so well. Why would you stop using it?
You got a bunch of kids that were supposedly killed in a school in Connecticut. Okay? You got a bunch of kids that were supposedly massacred by this idiot in Connecticut. And yet, 2 years later, you have a very, very observant reporter who is taking pictures of the kids on the field. And guess what? 11 of those kids that were supposedly dead, okay, after this shooting are 2 years later at the Super Bowl in the halftime show.
Maybe they had a clone.
Yeah. Okay. So, and there's people out there right now that are saying, this guy's an idiot. Nothing like that happened. You need to understand, if you've never heard me before, and like Barry said, most of you have, I'm not going to challenge you to prove me wrong. I dare you. Pregnant pause.
What happened there? What happened there? I think you blew the mic out, Roger.
Did I? Can you hear me?
You knocked the algorithms right off the computer.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
I lost you there for a second, buddy.
Okay.
When the octaves went up a little bit, I lost you. Go ahead. Finish what you're going to say.
We don't have that much time. But the point here is we're looking at one scenario after another after another. Everybody's used to hearing me say this as well. You do not go into a war with a pistol. You're an idiot if you do. You go into a war with a pistol, a rifle, a machine gun, an aircraft carrier, I don't know how many freaking fighter planes, bombers. Okay, in other words, you go in with a bunch of different tools. Each one of those tools in its own right will perform and help you win a war. But put together, they pretty much guarantee it. So when you talk about an elitist caste that has an intention of, believe it or not, backing the entire global population down by 90%, okay, when you hear these things and you see these things and you don't believe them, all right, and nobody would. But let me ask you a question. Let's talk about these weapons you take into war. Let's talk about GMOs, absolutely proven to be causing cancer and infertility and destroying the biosphere. Biosphere goes, humanity goes, okay? How about vaccinations? Absolutely proven to be the most detrimental government-sponsored component to our health ever developed by mankind, okay? Responsible for millions of deaths in the century they've been used. How about fluoride? Fluoride causes cancer quicker, okay, and more often than any other chemical known to mankind. Again, fact, not a guess. And yet, our children are drinking it in uncontrolled amounts. Uncontrolled meaning every time you drink a glass of water, you exceed what the EPA says is the limit before it becomes toxic. Now, if you drink 10 glasses of water a day like your doctor tells you to, you have overdosed on fluoride and it is affecting your body. And more than likely, somewhere down the road, you're going to get cancer. So everything I'm talking about, these are all the weapons. That's the gun. That's the machine gun. You've got political tyranny. You've got the biggest one of all. The biggest one of all. Just let me get through this very, because I know you want to say something. And that is pharmaceutical drugs. The pharmaceutical industry is the most powerful cabal on the planet. They have five times more money being used to bribe our congressmen, senators, presidents, whatever you want to call them, than any other cabal on the planet, including the military-industrial complex. In the United States, between 120 and 135,000 people die every year from prescription legal prescribed drugs. Okay, let's hold on to that for 1 second. 120 to 135, okay? If you take the total gun deaths, which are about 40,000, and you take the car accidents, which are about 30,000, you come up with a total of about 70,000. So what I'm telling you is that your doctor prescribing you drugs, those are twice as dangerous as guns and cars combined in the United States. How the hell does that even work, Barry?
Well, because they got a lot of money and they got a lot of lobbying power. But of course, you know, these big pharma companies, we got to make sure people know that they're testing their drugs and everything's fine. And the government accepts that. So what do we got to worry about, Roger? They wouldn't lie to us. Wait a second. What am I missing here?
you just stepped on a really, really, really big landmine with that one. You say,
it's a joke.
I'm testing them and they're fine. And you are exactly right, and that is the issue, because it was never intended for the company that's producing the drug for sale to do its own testing. The government was talked into that because they were given unfettered oversight. They could have somebody standing there watching 24 hours if they wished. But with enough money greasing the palms of these individuals – oh, like the CDC. Where do you think most of the retiring CDC people go? They go to big paying jobs and big pharma companies, right?
No.
Why? Because you scratched my back and I scratched yours. But if you stop to consider the power they wield, the power they wield. I just told you more than 120,000 Americans, and I don't know how many Canadians, but it's pretty big, die every year from prescription, legally prescribed drugs. That is the third biggest killer in North America, and you never hear anything about it, and nobody ever gets sued, and nobody ever goes to jail. And if you die from a vaccine, tough crap, because you can't sue them. No matter whether you can prove they were right or wrong, you can't sue them. So now where we sit, where do we sit? We sit in the middle of what's called, I don't know, this is a corporatocracy. This is a government, not just the United States, but most of the free world, that is now run by corporations. Don't even flinch when I say that, because if you think I'm wrong, I will bury you in proof. Okay? These governments are literally run by corporations. Now, let's go back to 1932 to a gentleman called Benito Mussolini. And when he was asked to describe fascism, and I'm going to paraphrase this, he stated fascism should more aptly be described as corporatism because it is the melding or the unification of the power of large corporations and the state. Look around you. Tell me the free world is not fascist, and I will tell you you're an idiot.
Mm. Well, hey, Roger, it's so in our face right now that if you don't see it, then you've got your head buried.
That was everything. Article I wrote.
I don't know if I read that. I read a lot of your articles, believe it or not, Roger.
That one's going to be this week's town crier. I usually write an article, and then that's my show for the week. So it will come out on Town Crier narrated, but it discusses a lot of what we're talking about right now. And it also, I also embedded in that article a 2.5 hour long documentary on how dangerous the big global corporations actually are to freedom. And it is a mind-bending video that I strongly suggest everybody read. If you want to ignore my article, fine. Watch the video, please.
Mm. Well, Roger, I've watched a lot of your stuff, and I learn a lot when I watch your videos. So people have a look. You know, it's really important that you look at all the information that's being provided, because we are shielded for so much from actual facts. And you're right, Roger, about pharmaceuticals now being the third biggest killer of people in North America. Well, why isn't that being addressed as a national emergency?
Because this we have even bigger. Yeah.
Well, I know,
sorry.
Roger, the power of big pharma. I mean, they're running. We're in a medical hot. We're in a what's the word I'm looking for?
Catastrophe.
Yeah. It's beyond that.
It's
beyond that, because people are starting to really pay attention to what's going on with our health, because we're all getting sick. Everybody I see around me is getting lung diseases, and they're getting infections, and it's on the rise. And I'm in a small little town up here. In big cities, man, they're really starting to have some major problems. And you know about some of the viruses and some of the bugs that are now showing up in the United States of America. That could absolutely wreak havoc on society. And there's a few I wouldn't mind. The one I wanted to ask you about, I can't remember the name of it, but it really has, well, Ebola, for one, it is something that should be a concern to everybody at this point, because it is on the rise again. And
I
was going to ask you, and being weaponized, exactly. And very easy to do, Roger. So,
yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, they could unleash hell on society in a very short period of time. If they chose to do so.
If you stop, just stop to consider the things that I've told you. I'm going to throw another one on the fire here. You talked about it should be a national emergency. And you're absolutely right. The amount of chronically ill in – let's just talk to the United States, because I don't have the facts. That squared away on Canada. But in the United States right now, one out of every two children, and actually it's 53%, but I'll say one out of two children born will suffer a lifelong chronic illness. 30% of them will suffer two or more. But here's the real big kicker, people. How many of you are familiar with autism? Autism is not something that goes away, although there are some things that can be done to mitigate a lot of the symptoms. But This is something that you were either born with or triggered into. It requires some level of care for you for life. It is a handicap. Anybody who tells you it's not, I'm not trying to be PC. I'm telling you the truth. It's a handicap. Now, here we are. When I was born, when Barry was born, the occurrences of autism were so low that most doctors had never seen or heard of it, ever. Okay? The actual occurrence was estimated to be in excess of 1 in 30,000 children. That was 60 years ago, three generations, period. Today, in male children, it's not 1 in over 30,000. It's 1 in 25. 1 in 25 male children born will suffer autism for life and require higher levels up to and including, depending on how severe it is, total care for life. 1 in 25 males. You want to talk about a catastrophe? You want to talk about a nation that is on its way to the rocks? I'm telling you right now, if this continues, and I've mentioned this on your show before, in about 10 years, the only people having babies in this country are going to be the illegals that snuck across the damn border. This is where we're sitting right now. This is how bad this is. Now, why don't we have an Apollo-type program to cure autism, to find out what's causing it and cure it? Because they know what's causing it. It's the vaccines. It's the GMOs. And these are the companies that literally own our leaders. Do you think anything is going to be done about vaccines and GMOs? If you say yes, I really want to see it happen, but I don't believe you.
Not unless there's a monumental shift in society. Roger.
Not unless we start – and again, you can take this as a joke or not. Not unless we start bringing the hanging parties back out.
Well, you know what? That really at this point in society isn't an extreme suggestion at all, Roger, because society is completely out of control right now. And it's only escalating. What I see going on in the Mideast right now, what I see going on in India and Pakistan – and then I look at other countries, and they all seem to be getting ready for war, you know. And, boy, I'll tell you, one nuclear bomb could really, really ruin our day, man. We got lunatics right now with their fingers on these things. And that kind of, you know, that's kind of a major concern of mine, Roger. It really is. Look what's going on in Venezuela right now. It seems like it's escalating all around the world. It's like they want to go to war. Because war always brings order back into society, as in the past, and it will again in the future. Go ahead.
When you've got the people that have the president's ear, although I don't think he does so much anymore after the things he's said the last couple of days, like John Bolton, you want to talk about a frickin' neocon? You want to talk about somebody who will drag us down the chute to war faster than anybody you know? And there's several of them in the Trump administration that need to go. Are we on the precipice of war? I think a lot of this is drum beating, and I think it's a lot of this is drum beating in order to facilitate political positioning. Do I think there's a possibility of war? Yes. Do I think it's as bad as everybody's wanting us to believe it is? No. Why do I say that? Because Trump's not that stupid. Putin's not that stupid. And I could go on. Now, if you throw into the mix the Netanyahu's, Netanyahu will drag us into war to keep his people out of war. And that will be with Iran.
Yeah, it's a very, very volatile situation. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of drum beating going on. But when you get drum beating going on, Roger, it only takes a hair trigger to set it off.
Well, and I understand that.
That should be a concern when we have these many people. These many nations right now rattling the sabers at each other. Let's hope that nothing breaks out, but war is part of their agenda. I honestly believe that, you know, like I said,
war
brings society into control. It gives them a reason to take our minds off everything else that's going on in their lives and focus on the enemy. And it's, like I said, it's worked very well in the past and will work again. I believe they'll do it. It's just where and when and how many and who's going to be involved. Well, the guys behind the curtain, they already got that planned out, Roger, so.
War is inevitable. War is, as long as we have a corporatocracy running this country and Canada and England and Germany and France. Well, not so much, not so much the authoritarian nations or the communist nations or the really, truly socialist nations. But you look at all of this around us right now and you realize that, yeah, we're being whipped into a froth. But, you know, that doesn't mean a nuclear war. That could mean another round of conventional wars in which there's a lot of money being made by the people who perpetrate these wars. And these are the people that guys like Bolton work for. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you think he works for President Trump, nah. All right. So we're looking at a situation right now where, as you say, the agitation is there, the aggravation's there. And yeah, some may indeed have a hair trigger. It has been the status quo since after World War II for the United States Empire to expand its reach, its influence, and its control across the planet. That's not a joke. The actual number I cannot cite. The statistic I can cite states that approximately 30 million human beings have died since World War II as a result of American global imperialism. Am I an American? Yes. Am I proud to be an American? Most of the time, yes. Do I want to be an American? Yes. Would I love like hell for everything I'm saying to be false? Absolutely. The only way this country is going to be the way you remember it, Barry, and I remember it, is for people like me to get enough people awake that we say, this is done. It can't happen anymore. And most people, they would say, you'd lose. No, no, you people don't understand, okay? The United States is totally different than any other nation on the planet. We're not talking about good or bad here. We're not talking about bully or slave here. We're talking about unique. How do I mean unique? Okay, show me one other country on the planet. And there is one where everybody's supposed to have a gun, but they have a whole lot less people. Show me one other nation on the planet where the population owns in excess of 300 million, some saying it could be as many as a half a billion firearms in personal hands. I need to explain something to you. The U.S. government doesn't own that many guns. The Russian government doesn't own that many guns. The Chinese government doesn't own that many guns. So what we look at in the United States is, if you piss off enough of the people, away people who really do love America and want to see it back the way it was, you're picking on the most well-armed society the planet's ever seen. Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing. And if the liberals want to start a civil war against the conservatives, they have 5% of the guns. The conservatives have 95%. Who's going to win, Barry?
Well, you know, I hope we won't go to that point.
Roger, I do, too.
I've been looking at some of the laser technology they now are letting us know about. I say that because they're letting us know about what they have. So you got to remember, folks, that what they're showing us is probably 5 to 10 years behind what they actually possess. That being said, Roger, some of the laser technology I've been looking at lately, it blows my mind. So where does that all factor into the equation? How much effectiveness do you have against a laser that's being shot at you from 15 miles away, Roger, with your firearm?
Let me tell you, I got to tell you, okay? If you stop and consider.
I wanted to throw that one at you because we got to keep that in our mind all the time, in the equation. Go ahead.
If you stop to consider, okay, that, well, you said 5 to 10 years. I'm telling you that I worked for the military-industrial complex. You know that, okay? I'm telling you the difference between what DARPA may have and what we see on the market could be as much as 30 to 50 years in technology, okay? I saw things working in the military for the military-industrial complex in the 1980s and early 90s that are just hitting the market today and being exploited on a on a market type basis. Why do they do that? Well, if I've got a secret weapon and all of a sudden I find something that does the job even bigger, cheaper, and fits in a smaller package that I can stick in my armpit and carry around anywhere I go, then I'm going to get rid of the technology that it's supplanted. That technology is now given to military industrial complex companies, corporations, whatever, to utilize that technology for, you know, gains, corporate gains, whatever. So what we're looking at here is a system whereby we're constantly feeding these people, constantly. I don't know, Barry. I would tell you that if you stop to consider the laser, what you realize is a very small piece of what's happening all around us. Do they tell us? Yes, they actually did tell us, because I saw a video on it, that in the nose of some of these big Air Force planes, they can carry a laser that can literally knock a reentry vehicle from a ballistic missile out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take that one step further. Okay. There was a big fire not too long ago in California. Mm. Big old fire. Okay.
A little suspicious, that one.
And I am very, 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 very aware of what the damage from a high-energy particle beam or a laser can do, especially if focused in a given area for a period of time. I will tell you that when a house literally burns totally to the ground and 20 feet away there's a tree where none of the leaves are burned, I will tell you that when a car literally melts to the road, the tires turn into a pool of rubber, and even the glass starts to melt on the vehicle, the amount of heat that was focused on that vehicle far surpasses anything a gas fire can do. Far surpasses anything, okay? Nothing was allowed to leave that community. Those houses were each hit, okay, with a focused particle beam. Look at the yards around them. If those houses would have burned up, what caused them to burn up? Usually it's the tree in your backyard that's on fire and embers blow under your roof, right? But when you see the homes burned to the ground, literally burned totally to the ground, and there's green grass 10 or 15 feet away, something ain't right, people. Something ain't right.
To me, Roger, I'm, you know... Yeah. I mean, if somebody can give me an explanation on what Roger just said, I would really, really like to hear it, because I've looked at hundreds of photos of situations like you're talking about right now, Roger. And,
yep.
You know, one only really has to look at the vehicles 3 blocks away from ground zero, where scientific tests prove they were exposed to temperatures of 1,200 to 1,400 degrees, 3 blocks away from the towers. Yep. How did that happen, folks? And if you don't think directed energy was used in the destruction of the towers, I would beg to differ with you, because I believe it was directly part of the scenario, Roger. What do you think?
Oh, I not only think that, but I also pretty much that's been pieced together. There are actually images and short videos of individuals who had storage rooms in the towers absolutely full of thermite. And that was several months before the tower got hit. And what were they doing with that? Well, they were closing elevator shafts down for maintenance. Yeah. And as they did that, as they walked that from the bottom all the way up to the top, and they closed down these elevators and went into the shafts and the outlying areas of the building and planted their thermite charges. Anybody who Exactly. knows anything about controlled demolition can watch the towers go down and absolutely predictably realize when you're going to see mushrooming from the floors below as they're about to collapse. Let's take that one step further. Nothing hit Building 7. A few embers fell on it and some office fires started. No way in hell the entire building could collapse into its own footprint. Its own footprint.
In 7 seconds.
Yeah. So if you stop to consider Building 7 makes everything else look stupid.
Yeah, well, Building 7 truly is the smoking gun of all the events that happened that day, Roger, that a 47 steel frame building built to stand up to just about anything the earth could throw at it all of a sudden fell into its own footprint.
from a couple office fires.
From a couple office fires, and all of a sudden, all 48 steel supporting beams on that building simultaneously gave way and turned to dust. You know, this you could make a movie on this because people would laugh, but it's the truth that they expect us to continue to believe, or that it's still being perpetrated on us. I mean, what the heck, Roger? Yeah, and then we could talk about the Pentagon. We could talk about any event.
Pentagon.
There's another big smoking gun. We all know the facts on that, buddy. Go ahead. I'll let you blur, but I know all the facts on that one too, buddy. It's crazy.
What I started to say was, and most people, you're not going to believe this. Google it. You can find the video on online. There is a very short video that literally breaks it down into frames, each image, each frame. And what you see is an attack on the Pentagon, but it ain't from a plane. It's from a drone. And you can literally see it skimming about 5 to 10 feet off the ground, frame by frame, right into the area of the Pentagon that we all saw smacked. We were all told that plane dove into.
Mm-hmm. You figure that, it definitely, same thing with the only video that's ever been released on it, Roger, only shows a split second blurb, but there is no airplane ever to be seen. Nope. And how many videos of it were taken from how many cameras around the Pentagon that were seized immediately? And come on, guys, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. The Pentagon hit the offices that have the records for the $2 trillion
that were missing.
Trillion. That was missing the day before, announced by what's his face there? You know the name I'm talking about, Roger.
Yeah. Basically, our Secretary of State.
Yeah, what was his name?
Right off the top of my head, you're going to put me on the spot, and I don't remember. And I know who you're talking about, but believe me, I got so much going through my head right now. Okay. But the whole point here is, the day before, you're right, in a press conference, this gentleman stood up in front of the world and said, we have about $3 trillion or $2.8 trillion that we can't account for. And then all of a sudden, a plane smacks right into the offices where all of that investigation would start, where all of the information was contained, where all of the records were stored. Yeah, give me a break. But that's not all, okay?
I know, it gets better.
If people have to realize why the towers had to come down. Towers not only had to come down because of insurance, because the guy who owned them bought a huge insurance policy just a couple of days before those buildings got hit.
Coincidence.
But, yeah, if you stop to consider, okay, all of the stuff that was in those towers, but that was nothing compared to what was in Building 7. Building 7 was the home run for people like you and me. Building 7 contained the information that would have shown exactly who these oligarchs were, exactly what was being planned, the whole nine yards, the money that was being passed, so on and so forth. There were trails. The first two buildings had to come down because that was the catalyst to drive us into the Middle East. That had been planned for years. I've already told you that. Building 7 had to come down, and they were all pissed that part of those buildings didn't fall on Building 7 and crush it. But Building 7 had to come down because it contained the smoking gun that would hang these idiots.
Well, the way the towers came down, Roger, that's one of the best demonstrations of controlled demolition and directed energy I've ever seen in my life. The
fact for as big as they are, hell yeah.
For the size of those buildings, that they didn't fall over. Well, actually, the Tower 2, you can actually see when it starts to collapse that the building tilts slightly to the left, and then it corrects itself. And then the top of it disappears into thin air. Roger, I've probably got 100 hours of research in the 9/11 in my lifetime. It was the catalyst that woke me up. It was the thing that one night I sat down and watched Architect 9/11 for Truth, and it just shook me to the core. Because up to that point, I was still kind of asleep.
Do you know what 9/11 did? Do you know what it did?
It woke me up, buddy. I'll tell you, after that, I couldn't stop going down rabbit holes. That was it.
I'm going to tell you what 9/11 did. 9/11 was the impetus to force the free world into globalism. That was the trigger to start it all. It had a twofold, okay, purpose. One, just to put those Federal Reserve style banks all over the Middle East, and two, to control all of the oil coming out of the Middle East, whether it was by conscription or it was by utter force. And they were prepared to do both. So we're sitting here today and looking at everything that's screwed up around us, our politicians especially, and anybody out there who says, if you're a Republican, you're a good guy, that makes you an idiot. It really does. Okay? There are bad Republicans. There are bad Democrats. There are bad anybody, bad socialists, bad communists. Oh, that's by default. But the point here is we're looking at a situation where we have, for the last almost two decades, because we're talking 2001, we're in 2019. For the last two decades, we have seen the actual – now, anybody out there, tell me I'm wrong. I dare you to. We have seen the whittling away of our livelihoods, of our security, of our rights, of our freedoms, the Patriot Act, the NDAA. I could go on and on. And they scared the American people so bad that when the NDAA came out and they told us it was being done for our good to keep those bad Osama bin Laden people out of here from killing us all, Americans stood behind them, raised their hand and said, "Well, do whatever you want." And that was the worst mistake we could have made, because that started us on a roll. Where we sit today is our freedoms are in so much trouble, and there are so many of them that we can't even exercise at this point without drawing undue attention by people who don't want us around. This all started in 2001, and it was all done intentionally. This is the big push to globalism. Mm-hmm. Oh, and did everybody see the Pope came out yesterday, and he's telling all of his cardinals they need to start pushing for global governance?
Yeah, he made some unbelievable statements here in the last couple of weeks, Roger, about embracing one world government, a superpower body to save the human race, and his endorsement of all religions being compatible, that all religions are saying the exact same thing. You know, what's coming out of his mouth from a biblical perspective is perfect rule of the Antichrist, but that's an individual that is supposed to rise at this particular time in history, and we see a very viable candidate. The fact that he and one of the biggest imams in the world came into an agreement that the Quran and the Bible are saying the same thing, basically, is absolute hierarchy.
And you know that is absolute bunk. There is – for anybody to try and tell you that the Quran and the Bible are saying the same thing.
Oh, boy. I'll sell you a bridge in New York City.
Yeah.
Come here. I'll sign the papers for you right now.
Because I've got to tell you something. The Quran tells their people, okay, that lying, cheating, and stealing in order to forward, okay, the Muslim religion is perfectly legitimate and accepted.
It's called Qatim. Look it up.
Now, if you start to consider that, if you can find that somewhere in the Catholic Bible or the Protestant Bible, or show it to me, please. Please show it to me, because it ain't there. I'm not telling you Catholicism is any better. I'm not telling you that any religion is any better. But when you have what is supposed to be a global leader standing up, and believe it or not, the Vatican owns a big chunk of the United States and Canada, standing up and telling the whole world bold-faced lies, all I have to say to you is, what makes him any different than any other politician across the globe that's doing the exact same damn thing today?
I got a question in chat there, Steve. What is the question? Because I don't see it. Oh. Okay. Oh, anyways, okay, we'll go forward. Yeah, no, really, Roger. I mean, there's quite a rebellion going on inside the Catholic Church right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's a civil war going on. And then, of course, we could factor in what happened at Notre Dame. Boy, there's a subject that we don't have time to talk about today, but it all plays into the same agenda, Roger. Same agenda.
Okay. Can you change somebody's way of thinking without shock therapy? If somebody spent an entire life being comfortable and all of a sudden you want them to take a 90-degree turn, okay, you need to shock them to do that. Okay, 9/11, serious shock. Okay, and there are others, serious shocks, intended, like I said, to move a large society, to cause it to pivot, which is something we wouldn't naturally do. And this is what has happened to all of North America.
Problem, reaction, solution. Hey, Mike DeHearn dropped in for the last 10 minutes. Mike, did you want to say hi to Roger real quick?
Hi, Roger. You know what? I see you on Facebook, but we've never actually spoken.
I wanted to introduce you guys.
Pleasure to meet you, by the way. I was going to get in touch with you one of these days, but, you know, I kind of watch you on your rants. I go, okay, man, I'm just going to let him go because he's on a flow, so I'm leaving you alone at the moment.
It's all good. The best thing in the world for me is questions. And anybody who's afraid of questions shouldn't be saying what they're saying. End of story.
Well, I'm glad you kind of came on the scene because I was taking a brutal beating. And then I thought, okay, Roger's got it. That's great. My buddy John Neufeld joined you. And I said, okay, well, I said, I'm going to keep listening. And then I heard you were coming on. So I was a little busy for a second coming on for the last hour. But I caught a gist of what you said. But, you know, you're really right on religion. And I'm going to go on that, too, that – you know, it's time we let in them. You know, it doesn't matter what religion says what. It just doesn't matter. And anybody that wants to compare a Bible to the Catholic Bible, to the First Test, to the King James, or the New Testament, or the Quran, none of them agree. The Book of Mormon, all of it. So, and there's, I'm sure, thousands more. But, I believe in certain things. That's my belief. I don't impose it on anybody, but I have to agree with you 100%.
If you stop to consider this, Mike, just stop to consider this, okay? Religion is a major control mechanism in the world. It has been for a very long time. It still remains so, all right? If you consider that all of these religions have a political agenda of their own, which they're not supposed to.
Well, they have all control.
Right. So my question to everybody out there is this, all right? We have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is corruption in the Jewish religion. We have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is major corruption in the Catholic religion. I could go on and on and on. These are run by fallible human beings who all have their own weaknesses. The mechanisms for control in a religious group aren't very different than any place else. Where we sit right now with religion is this. Those who wish to take the planet over, these elitists, these progressives who wish to run the planet, they want those religions around. Why? Religion is one of the best control mechanisms ever devised by mankind to control man's mind. They don't want to get rid of the religion. They want to control the religion.
Yet, the religion will state every single time that they're not involved in government. I laugh my head off. I fall on the ground in hysterics, okay? I talk to them all, the Latter-day Saints, the bishops, all of it. I talk to them all. And I go, I'm like, man, you guys are the government. You guys control everything the government states. What are you talking about? You think we're naive to this? This is ridiculous.
Stop to consider that a big chunk of the British Empire is owned by the Vatican.
The Vatican owns everywhere.
And an even bigger chunk of the United States is owned by the Vatican.
And our country, too.
Well, thanks for your input, Mike. And Roger, we're down. We got about 6 minutes left in this show. And I just wanted to pick your brain on whether the subject for today is exactly what you think is going to come down in the U.S. in the next couple weeks. In the next 3 weeks, because we're seeing some pretty incredible developments right now, Roger. You're in a constitutional crisis. I just want to get your feelings on where we're going here in the next couple, 3 weeks, because I see some crazy stuff going on.
I do think that we're going to see everything's going to come to a head, but I don't think it's going to be in 3 weeks. I think we're talking 5 to 6 months down the road. What do I expect to see in the next 3 weeks? I expect to see a lot of people like me and other independent news sources all across this country stepping up to say, if you can't tell us the truth, because that's the biggest issue right now, is the Democrats. These people are so, I don't know. I don't know what
lunatics.
I don't know what kind of drugs they're taking, but I really would like some, because they really got to be good, because they're living in another whole planet, but talking to us on this planet. It's like, so you live in bizarro world, but when you talk, we hear you in the real world. This is exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing Democrats who are telling us that a president, even though Mueller, after 2.5 years of massive investigation, found he did nothing illegal, the Democrats are saying, screw Mueller. We never should have trusted him in the first place.
Yeah, Mueller's a liar.
We've got to impeach Trump because, by golly, he did everything we said, regardless of what Mueller said.
Is Nancy Pelosi for real, Roger? Is that a real person? Because I listened to her talk, and she's a lunatic, man. Is that what's really the Speaker of the House? Is this much of a raving lunatic?
Actually, she is. And the biggest problem with her is that she is so owned, it's insane. The people that hate her the most of them live in her district, okay? She lives in a huge mansion that is walled off and nobody is allowed in, and she won't even live in her own district because her own district is massively impoverished. She's been in Congress for how many years? 20 what? Okay? And nothing has ever been done to help bring her congressional district out of poverty, yet she's the Speaker of the House. If you can give me a better example of politics gone wrong, I'll kiss your butt on Broadway at high noon and let you sell tickets.
Well, we're not gonna get that on TV, okay, Roger? But
you're so right.
Pretty lively conversation. Remember, but we gotta laugh about this stuff, because if we don't, Roger, we're gonna go insane.
Well, we're gonna lose our minds. And can I just say one thing about Nancy Pelosi? Remember, her father, as we talked about in the last hour prior, was the number one person in California that actually imported all the heroin for the state.
Yes.
These guys are just heroin dealers. Yeah,
yes.
I think during the sex that Pelosi caught a little bit of that heroin in her brain when she was conceived.
No. If she had heroin in her brain, she'd probably be acting a whole lot more normal than she
yes,
is now.
Yes, she could be, yeah.
Yeah. Because I she's the
more like crack. She looks more like crack cocaine, man, to me.
She is the antithesis of what most Americans want. So if you give her heroin, it's not going to hype her up and dope her up. It's going to bring her back to reality.
It's going to mellow her out, yeah.
Well, Roger, honestly, I've been around a lot of people that are on crack. I've seen with those people, and she reminds me so much of a crackhead. It's incredible. She's just psycho.
I'm not going to tell you what she reminds me of, because
yeah, me too.
I would never be invited back on the show.
Oh, hey, Roger, you couldn't say, well, outside of massive amounts of profanity, there isn't anything you could say that wouldn't get you back invited on my show. But he says, you're going to be back here again soon, real soon.
All right. My throat's telling me that it's got to be close to an hour.
You're right on the money.
I lost.
Hello?
Yeah, my internet dropped again for a second, guys. I didn't hear what you just said, Roger.
He said his throat's getting sore and that he's probably up at the end of the hour.
No.
We're one minute away from the end of the show. Roger, quickly, plug your network.
Liberty Beacon Project. The flagship website is thelibertybeacon.com. The TV network is tlbtv.com. There's a lot of other websites, but you can find them through those two. And Barry, it's always a pleasure. Mike, great to meet you, my friend. Thanks for joining the conversation.
Hey, Roger,
thanks
always
for having
a pleasure.
Me in.
Yeah, thanks.
I'll get in touch with you on Facebook, Roger.
Very good.
Okay, and Mike, last word real quick. I'm going to shut the show out here.
Last word real quick. One thing I wanted to say about Barry, because we don't get to say much about you, Barry. Barry and I have been friends here for the recent time and developed to being one of the best people that I know in this country. And we appreciate you for opening our voice and allowing us to come on here, Barry, and exercise our rights.
Well, thank
you. Hear,
hear.
Ditto.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Mike. And we're all just trying to do our bit, because we know the time is getting short, that this window of opportunity that we currently have I believe is going to shut very, very near future. This window could shut, and when it does, we won't be able to climb through it, guys. So it's really, to me, it's our duty right now, our absolute duty as human beings that say we love our children, love our families, love our lives, love what this country has provided for us, to get off our butts and get actively involved in any way you can to stand up against this absolute insanity we see creeping into our society. And I'll leave you with those thoughts today. It's been a great show. Thanks for my guest. And I'll be back. I don't know if I don't think I'll be back here, guys, next week, but the week after, I will be back. I'm going to work my mushroom picking around, getting back into Terrace at least every couple weeks, and getting back on the radio at least every couple weeks. So if I'm not here next week, please forgive me, but into the bush I have to go, and I'll be back real soon. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a great show. I'll talk to you real soon. God love you, and God bless you, and talk to you real soon.